Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for tuning in to Push My Story. Everybody have a story to tell. Everybody's dealing with something or somebody. So happy Resurrection Day. This morning, amen, we're going to have Elder Gerald, amen, teaching this morning on the Resurrection Guarantee. So this time, amen, we want you to relax, sit back, amen, take some notes if it's necessary, and just hear my beloved husband, Elder Gerald Livingston.
Good morning to all of you today, listening to the sound of my voice. This is Elder Gerald Livingston from Push Outreach Ministries. On this April 4th of 2015, which is the Resurrection Day in the United States of America, I will be discussing the topic of resurrection guaranteed. Okay? Now, your Bible background for this discussion will be the 1 Corinthians 15, chapter 1 through the 22nd verse of the New Testament, if you have a King James Bible or Bible, okay? And during your private devotional readings, you can read John 11, 20 through 27. Now, by the end of the lesson, we will explore the meaning of Christ's resurrection, value, and appreciate our identity in Christ Jesus, and witness personally and corporately to the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, you should keep in mind the scripture, 1 Corinthians 15, 22, which says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, that scripture has a background to it. When God breathed into the dust of the earth at the beginning of time, eons ago, man became a living soul. A living soul means at that time, when God breathed his breath into the dust of the ground, a body of a man was formed with a flesh body, all of his internal organs, and blood going through his body. Okay? That's the first appearance of blood in the human person was when God created man in his own image in the Garden of Eden. Okay? However, because of man's disobedience and man disobeyed God, man was cast out of the Garden of Eden. And ever since, man has been trying to find his way back to God. Now, Jesus Christ came here to show man his way back to the Father. And he taught, he illustrated, he healed people, and it was all done so that people could get their way back to the Lord. So therefore, we want everybody to know that on this resurrection day, Jesus Christ died and suffered a very excruciating death on the cross for the salvation of all of us today who walk the earth. Okay? Now, the first, like I said, you have to keep in mind, it says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Okay? That's 1 Corinthians 15 to 22. Now, I will start reading at 1 Corinthians 15, chapter, first verse. It says, "Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preach unto you, which also ye have received, and wherein ye stand." Now, the person who's preaching the gospel to the Gentiles, who is writing this, is Apostle Paul. Apostle Paul had a conversion system. He had a conversion because at one time he was apostle. He wasn't an apostle. He was Saul, the Pharisee, and he went about the land crucifying and arresting Christians and harassing Christians. But once he had his conversion experience on the Damascus Road, where Christ appeared to him, he fell off his horse, and for a period of days he lost his sight, and then God restored his sight. He told Saul, whose name was changed to Paul, who became the Apostle Paul, that he would suffer many things for the sake of the gospel. Now, when you want to get out the gospel of Jesus Christ to the dying and lost people who have no knowledge of who he was or what he did, you will bring about opposition from individuals who have the spirit of the world in them, who do not want you to proclaim the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, what you have to understand is that when Christ died on the cross and he shed his blood on that cross, and he endured all of the pain in his flesh that he endured, it was for the salvation of the entire mankind who was born from the Garden of Eden, Genesis, all the way up to the present day and the future days that will hence after that day be until Christ comes back, as he promised he would one day, with his church. Therefore, Christ's sacrifice was very all-encompassing, because without Christ's sacrifice, man was always trying to earn his way to God by his system of works, how much he could do, how many good things he could do, philanthropy, this, that, this. But God is not a God of works. In the Garden of Eden, there were two brothers who were Cain and Abel. And one brother gave a sacrifice to God which was acceptable. And the other brother gave a sacrifice to God which was not acceptable. Now, the brother who gave the sacrifice that wasn't acceptable was told by God that if you do right, I will accept your sacrifice. But then the brother who was told this got envious of his brother whose sacrifice was acceptable, and instead of just doing what God had required of him, he didn't even want to try to make up for what he did with that displeased God. He took it out on his own brother and murdered him. Now we have the first murder that's spoken of in the Bible. And when that murder was committed, blood from that brother spilled out on the ground. Okay? Here we go. Here's the first spilling of blood out on the ground from a transgression that was not authorized by God. Okay? Now, in 1 Corinthians 15, 2nd verse, it says, by which also ye are saved, if you keep in memory which I preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. Now, anybody or all of you who have listened to me who are saved, someone preached the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ to you and you accepted Jesus Christ. However, you must remember that in the earth today, as the children of God are going forth preaching the gospel in simplicity, so that all can understand the gospel and come to a knowledge of Jesus Christ and repent of their sins and accept Christ for their eternal salvation and his blood sacrifice, many people who are preached to have a spirit of rebellion in them, and they do not want to accept the gift of God or what God has said through his preaching vessels who he has sent on the earth to give people the good news of the gospel. Now, it's the good news because, you see, people, we are talking about something here that is called eternal life. Now, everything in this world that we see through our five senses, we experience through our body and our five senses, is not eternal, because we are not going to be here for all time. One day the houses of our body, our tents are going to die, and we're going to go back to the dust. However, our spirit and soul will live forever in eternity someplace. That's why Christ had to come. The living word of God was manifest in flesh, walked the earth as a man, and showed the people, his disciples at the time, taught them how they should go about proclaiming the gospel to all of those who would hear, Jews and Gentiles alike. Now, it says in 1 Corinthians 15, chapter verse 3, it says, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. Now, there are many philosophies going around that are saying that man doesn't sin, man makes mistakes, but they not sins, and man doesn't have to have any accountability, and he can find his own way back to God, and he'll have a second chance, and he'll come back here one day. It might not be in the form of a body like he has now, but he'll come back some other kind of way until he gets the cycle of life right. That teaching is not of God, and it has nothing to do with biblical things, okay? You must understand that every person has a conscience. God put a conscience in everybody. Before Christ walked the earth as a man, people had an instinct that they called instinct within them, and they sort of felt that when they did some things, whether it was right or wrong, okay? But as time has gone on, the heart of man has been hardened, and he wants to bury the conscience that God has placed in him so he can ignore it and do his own thing or do what he thinks is right in his own eyesight. Now, if you don't want to do things the way God would have them done in a righteous way, you'll go about doing them in a worldly way, and everything that you do is worldly. God says your righteousness then is as filthy rags. Your worldly ways will not get you to God or back to God or get you to come to God and ask for forgiveness. It says in the Word of God that he said, my spirit, God, the Spirit of God, will not always strive with man. In other words, what that means is God's Spirit will not always tug at the heartstrings of man to bring him to repentance so that he can accept Jesus Christ as his Savior. Okay, now all of us on this resurrection day, we know that Jesus Christ, if we are saved, why he died for us, and not only for us, but for all of mankind, so that all of mankind could be saved and inherit eternal life. I didn't say inherit stocks and bonds. I didn't say inherit lands, real estate, castles. All of these things will outlive you. They'll be here when you die, and you can't take any of those things with you. So what do you think you're going to inherit when you acquire those things? You put all of your trust in those things, and then one day you see yourself, wait a minute, you can't bring them with you. Okay, because it says in the Word of God in Hebrews 9:27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Okay, now we will read 1 Corinthians 15:4, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. Okay, now Christ was resurrected by the Father God on the third day from death. All right. Now, it's interesting to note that when Christ walked the earth as a man, he went and he resurrected Lazarus in the tomb on the fourth day. Now, the reason Christ waited to the fourth day, or as he did, was more than likely was Christ wanted you to understand that he had power over death and whatever form it was manifested. Corruption enters the human body when a person dies in terms of deterioration of the body on the fourth day. Okay, Christ's body didn't see corruption because it was raised on the third day, all right? But Christ let everybody know that he had authority over corruption. It says in the Word of God, if you read certain scriptures, you know, that if you read the certain books of the Bible, Paul speaks about corruption being put into incorruption. We were going to become one day the image of God. We're going to have bodies glorified one day like God. We are his adopted sons and inheritors of the kingdom of heaven if you are saved. So this is what we have to look forward to. The world has no such hope, and a lot of the world really has no regard or thought or take thought about that. But that is why Christ came, so that he could salvage or get out the good news of the gospel by the foolishness of preaching to those who would live. There's a scripture that says, I will not always strive with man, which means that God will not always come to your conscience if you are not saved and say, repent, the day is at hand, repent. And there's going to come a time where people will turn off God so much that their heart will become hardened. And then once their heart becomes hardened to the truth of the gospel, God can no longer strive with that individual and bring him to repentance. Now, the fifth verse says, and that he was seen at Cephas, then on the 12. And the sixth verse says, after that, he was seen of above 500 brethren at once, of whom the greater part remain until this present, but some are fallen asleep. Now, Christ was, during his resurrection, he roamed the earth, okay? And certain individuals had seen him when he roamed the earth, okay? So when the individuals had seen him, you know, this account was written of in scriptures about how certain people and individuals had seen them, all right? Now it says some had fallen asleep. These were the individuals who had died, means fallen asleep, you know, their body died, and they were resting, okay? Not their physical body, but their spirits and souls somewhere in eternity. And at this time, they were probably most likely in paradise, because God, before he ascended into heaven after the resurrection, went and got the individuals and took them to paradise, out of paradise with him into glory. Now, verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, after that he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And verse 8 says, and last of all he was seen of me also, as one born out of due time. And verse 9 says, for I am the least of the apostles that are not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. Now, Paul, Apostle Paul, who was prior to being Apostle Paul, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and his name was Saul. Now, the Sanhedrin were very, very sort of like cliquish group of individuals who were the religious leaders of Israel, who went about persecuting Christians because they didn't like Christians. They thought after they crucified Christ that the whole Christian movement was gone. So when they saw that that people were beginning to accept the philosophy, which really wasn't the philosophy which they call philosophy, but they began to accept the gospel of Jesus Christ, they felt threatened. They felt their power was threatened. They felt their authority was threatened. They thought their, you know, people looking at them for advice was threatened. So with the spirit of envy that entered into all of the hearts of that group of people called the Sanhedrin, you must understand it was envy. Jealous has to do with competition. When somebody is alive, you compete with somebody else. Envy is you just don't like what somebody's doing because either you can't do it or you don't like what they're, you know, doing, so you just want to get rid of it and destroy it, all right? That's that evil spirit of envy, and that spirit of envy causes strife and all kinds of problems, okay? And it's in the world today because it's under the authority of the kingdom of darkness, all right? Now, like I said, Saul of Tarsus persecuted the church. However, when he became a believer in Jesus Christ and a follower of Christ, he became the Apostle Paul, okay? And he became the apostle to the Gentiles that is spoken of. Now, we know that Judas betrayed Christ. So when Judas betrayed Christ, there were only 11 disciples left living, all right? However, when Jesus, when Judas hung himself, there was a vacancy for the 12, for the number that they started out with. So a lot of people say Matthias was the 12th apostle, but you don't read nowhere in the scriptures about, well, maybe one time you hear his name mentioned and heard about nothing he did. Now, Apostle Paul wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, so in my estimation, I would believe that Apostle Paul was the 12th disciple and not Matthias. That's just for something you to cogitate or think about in your spare time. I just made reference to that, okay? Now, verse 10 says, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God which was in me. Now that's a very extensive, profound scripture because Paul is really talking about what it cost him to be an apostle of God, how he had to labor in the faith, okay, and prior to that, how he was persecuted by people, okay. And then it was the grace of God that dwelt in him that he said that gave him the strength and the determination to get that gospel out because he really believed what he spoke and he taught. He wasn't just talking to talk and run his mouth off. You have a whole lot of ministers today and people who talk. They talk more and more about less and less. They have nothing to say good about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't even make reference to the gospel of Jesus Christ. They make reference to everything else about the prosperity message and all that you can get and what you have. And God is the maker and provider of all things. Jehovah God, all right? Jehovah God was the one who gave us life. And Jehovah God, at our point of time, is the one who's going to take our life out of here, okay? But if you don't believe that or you don't want to own up to it, now that's an individual thing that you have to deal with, all right? Now, verse 11, and it says, therefore, whether it were I or they, so we preached and so we believed. Now, when he says, whether it were I or they, Apostle Paul is not only talking about himself going out, putting out, preaching the good news of the gospel, but he was also preaching with the other 11 disciples, okay? Now, like for instance, Timothy, the apostle. Do you know that Timothy, the apostle, after Christ died, the one who said, if I don't, if I can't put my hand in his hands or feet, I'm not going to believe that. But that particular disciple, where Christ was resurrected from the dead and went to glory, that apostle went over to the country we call India in the Far East. And today, the Christians that are in the Far East, the few that are there, were birthed out of the ministry of Apostle Timothy, right? Apostle Thomas, okay? They used to call him Doubting Thomas, but Apostle Thomas was the one who birthed the ministry out in India, okay? Now, we're going to skip down to verse 20, where it says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead, and become the firstfruits of them that slept." Now, I'm going to read that again. It says, "But now is Christ risen from the dead." We all that believe in the gospel of Jesus, we accept that. And it says, "And become the firstfruits of them that slept," okay? Now, the people prior to Christ coming in the earth as a man, some of them died, which means they use the term slept, means that that's the people who were the departed there prior to Christ coming on the scene, okay? Now, when Christ came on the scene and he died, not only the firstfruits were the people who had slept before Christ came on the scene, but the people who died prior to Christ's crucifixion, his ascension. It said that when Christ was crucified on the cross, people were walking around the city who were dead. Okay? Right there, that's giving you proof of the rapture of the church. Because if Christ was just killed on the cross and then the people who were there were dead, some of them were walking around the city, just got up from death. Okay? Then that shows you, you know, the magnificence, the authority, the majesty and the power of God, all right? Christ, when he was here, said all of the works that he said, that he did, he said it was the Father. He said the Father, it was him that did the works. Christ said the Father told him what to do, and it was the Father who orchestrated why all of the miracles and everything he did. The Father, who's the first person of the Godhead, was the expression of Christ's deity when he was manifesting the power of God through his anointing, okay? Now, when Christ came on the earth as a man and walked the earth in flesh, he set aside his deity in heaven, all right? His supernatural expression of himself, the expression of himself that spoke the worlds into existence, expression of himself that created all the seas and the heavens and the stars, the expression of himself that created all of this, all of the skies and the clouds and all the animals on the earth, every creeping thing, all the grass, the expression of Christ, all of that he was prior to coming to earth, he set aside when he came down to earth, manifested in Mary's womb as the Word of God, okay? Now, verse 21, it says, "For since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead." Now, see that verse right there, that scripture, is very important because it says, "For since by man came death," we know that Adam's sin led to our eternal separation from God and our death. We needed a Savior. We needed somebody to save us because we violated the law of God because we disobeyed God. Anytime you disobey what God tells you and you walk in disobedience, you are opening yourself up for damnation. Okay? It says, "By man came also the resurrection of the dead." Christ is commonly referred to in scriptures as the Son of Man. That's what the Son of Man was what resurrected us from the dead, from going and being eternally lost. The Son of Man, who was Jesus Christ, is the one who made the supreme sacrifice and saved ourselves from the dead, all of us who call ourselves humans. Now, the last verse, it says, "For as in man all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." Now, that's the final thought that I want y'all to take with you today, all of you out there listening to me, that for as in Adam all die. Okay, we died, all of us, we were through with Adam, you know, what happened in the garden. Even so in Christ, if you have Christ, you shall live forevermore. Now, God bless all of you on this Resurrection Sunday, and I hope that something that I have said to you, saved and unsaved alike, will encourage your heart today. Amen.
Thank you for tuning in to Push My Story. And we want you to go to our website, pushformiracle.com. You can Twitter us And you can go to our Facebook, Nina Livingston, or you can go to Push Outreach Ministry, or you can go to Jerry Livingston for information. So if you want to anytime have comments or anything, remember the number. The number is 646-915-9303. God bless you. May heaven smile upon you, and happy Resurrection Day.